We're going to read that psalm together now, the 23rd psalm, psalm number 23, and as we read it, let us pray the Lord will use it afresh to speak to our souls. I think there is a tendency when we come to a very familiar portion of Scripture, and this is probably one of the most well-known portions of Scripture in God's Word. The tendency is that we read over it and we don't stop then to think, is there something fresh within this for my soul? And so this morning, let us just read it slowly and pray that as we read it, God will use it to speak to us and impress the message of the psalm upon our hearts once more. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May the Lord bless the reading of this well-known psalm to our hearts this morning. Psalm 23 is without doubt the most well-known and probably one of the favorite psalms out of all 150 of the psalms of Scripture. It has been described as the sweetest psalm, the first learned, the longest remembered, the one that is most often repeated. I believe that it is probably the favorite psalm among God's people because it sets forth in a lovely pictorial form the relationship that exists between the Lord Jesus Christ and his people, that relationship between the Savior and the saints, the shepherd and the sheep. And that's the picture that the psalmist uses here by divine inspiration. It's a picture of the relationship between the shepherd and his sheep that is so relevant to the Lord and his people and the relationship that exists between them. You will notice that it is a personal relationship. How many times the personal pronouns are used, even in the first number of verses. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. David wasn't speaking about the church collectively. He wasn't speaking about the people of God as a unit or as a body, but he was speaking God's individual and personal dealings with himself. And what was true of David, we can say, is true of every Christian. The Lord deals with men and women, and he deals with his people individually and personally. And you can have this very personal, close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through the redemption that is in him. God deals with us personally. But the Lord also, this psalm sets forth, deals with us bountifully. The Lord is a gracious and a giving and a good God. And that's what is set forth in Psalm 23, the shepherd looks after the sheep, not vice versa, not the other way around. The shepherd meets the needs of the sheep. And so the Lord meets the needs of all His people. In this little psalm, it sets forth His provision. In verse 2 and 5, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. All that we need, He provides. It speaks about His pathway. Verse 2 and verse 3, He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. He not only gives us what we need, but He leads us throughout our lives in the right way. We would go astray, but He leads us in the pathway. He speaks about His presence. The shepherd doesn't leave the sheep on their own, but He goes with them. Jesus, speaking of the good shepherd, said, He goeth before His sheep. And there we see it in verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. The Lord is with His people at every point and every milestone and every situation in life. There's His provision and His pathway and His presence and then His peace. Verse 2 and 4. He maketh me to lie down. When the sheep lie down, and I don't know an awful lot about sheep. I think you'll gather that from my testimony in times past. Brought up in the town, moved to the country in my late teens, and I was happy to let the sheep stay in the field and I'd stay in the house. I don't know a lot about them, but I know this, that when they lie down, they're at rest, they're at peace. And my, the Lord brings us to a place where He gives us peace as His children, peace in the journey of life. In verse 4, He says, I will, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There's peace, no fears. The Lord grants His people peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stead on Thee. He grants us the protection that we need. Again, He speaks of it in verse 5. We're in the midst of our enemies, but He is there to protect us and to minister to us and to ward off the enemies. And then verse 6 reveals His purpose. What is God's ultimate purpose? What's Christ's ultimate purpose for you? It's to bring you to glory, bring you to heaven. He prayed in John 17, the great high priestly prayer, that where He would be, that was His will for where all His people would be, that they might be with Him. David says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the Lord's ultimate purpose for you, to be in His house, the Father's house in heaven with Him forever, and He's going to bring you there. What a psalm this is. No wonder it is one of our most favorite passages in all the Bible, and rightly so. But you know, sometimes when we read this psalm, there's a wee phrase that maybe we tend to overlook. And it's actually that phrase that I want to spend a little more time dwelling upon this morning and take as our text or our theme. And it's the little phrase there at the start of verse 3. He restoreth my soul. And there the saint is speaking of the Savior, the sheep. Speaking of the shepherd, this is something else the shepherd does for the sheep. He restoreth my soul. And I want that little phrase to sink deep down into your heart. And I want you to think about its meaning. And there are three thoughts that I want to leave with you this morning from that little phrase. He restoreth my soul. It reminds us, firstly and sadly, of the waywardness of the sheep. The word restore or restoreth, it means to bring something back to what it once was. Something else that I don't know a lot about or I'm not really into is old cars. But I have a father-in-law who is. And he has a couple of really old cars, and they're from, I don't know, the 50s or the 60s, but they're restored to what they were in that olden time. They've been brought back to what they were when they were first manufactured or made. And that's an illustration of what this word restore means. Something has got out of the state that it once was in, but it's restored to what it was. It's brought back to its former position. And if the soul is restored, the word also means to recover, to reinstate, or to renew. And if the soul is restored, he restoreth my soul. It implies most certainly that the soul wandered or went astray from where it once was or should be. That's why we're likened to sheep. The chief characteristic of the sheep is it just wanders aimlessly away. And it has no knowledge to return itself to the place where it ought to be. It had gone astray. Now let me say to you, if you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, there's a sense in which this can be applied to the sinner. You see, in our state of sin, we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We'd gone astray from the Lord. Do you remember what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, another well-known portion of Scripture? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. In Adam, we went astray from God. We abandoned God in our sin. And through Christ's work on the cross, by taking our sin upon his body and his soul, he died to restore us to that right relationship with God, reconciled unto him. He died to restore us unto that relationship with the Father. We considered last Sunday night, what we lost in Adam is restored in Christ. And if you have never become a Christian, if you've never started following the Lord Jesus Christ, then that relationship that God intended to have with man in and through Adam that was lost in the fall, you can only know it and experience it through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. However, I believe, having said that, I believe the primary meaning, reference in verse 3, the word restoreth is speaking and has application to those who are already saved. They have followed the shepherd. They have been close to the shepherd. They have been blessed by the shepherd. They have fed upon the green pastures. They have sipped from the still waters. They have had that experience where they've sat at the table in the wilderness. They've walked the paths of righteousness, but they have wandered from the shepherd. In other words, they're in a backslidden state. Does that describe you? Is there someone in the meeting this morning, and oh, you can testify that in times past you were near the Savior? You enjoyed feeding upon the green pastures of his word. You enjoyed drinking from the quiet streams of the Savior. You followed him in the paths of righteousness, but you've wandered from the fold astray. And you're in that backslidden condition. The hymn writer said, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it from thy courts above. Am I speaking to a backslider? There's a warning here. You're in the paths of sin. You've wandered from the fold. The Lord is able to restore you. And it's a restoration that you need. Let me give a warning to every Christian. This verse reminds us of the potential, the sad potential that every sheep of Christ's fold has within to wander from the Lord. Let him, Paul said, that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Speaking about the children in the wilderness, following the Lord, the pillar of smoke and the fire. He was warning, don't be like them. Don't sin as they did. Don't disobey as they disobeyed. Because you who think you're standing, you need to take heed because you could get out of the way like them. There's that potential in every man. David himself said in Psalm 73, verse 2, "As for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." And you take time to read that psalm, Psalm 73, and you will read that David looked at the prosperity and the pleasure of the wicked. He looked at them seemingly having much joy and pleasure in life. They had ease and they had wealth and they were never in trouble. And he thought it's much easier just living a sinful life. He said, "My steps had well nigh gone, that almost slipped. I'd almost abandoned the Lord." The potential was in him when he looked around him and he was tempted to abandon the Lord and his house. And I say to you that that potential is in every man. Abraham got out of the way when he went down to Egypt. Samson got out of the way when he went down among the Philistines. Jonah got out of the paths of righteousness when he went and got that ship at Joppa that was going to Tarshish. My friend, if it could happen to David and it could happen to Jonah and it could happen to Abraham and it could happen to Samson, I tell you, it can happen to you, and you need to take that warning on board. And I wonder, am I speaking to someone who is in that position? You need the restoration of the Good Shepherd. I think as we read this psalm, and I want to make this point before we move on, this is a state that should startle us, that should amaze us, and should grieve us. Why any Christian should wander from the Lord. Why do I say that? Because I have outlined in this psalm that the shepherd is presented as one who freely, graciously, and bountifully provides the sheep with everything it needs. What more does a sheep require than green pastures, still waters, the protection of the shepherd's presence to guide it and to bring it in and out of pasture and the fold? And so the Bible presents Christ as being the one who meets every need that the Christian has. Dear child of God, there's nothing you need in life that Jesus Christ, as your Savior and your Shepherd, will not provide. And yet for all His faithfulness and for all His goodness and for the bounty of His giving hand, yet that proneness is within us to wander from the fold. Spurgeon said that sadly, he said, "I grieve to say that with man's professions of godliness, suspended communion with Christ is the chronic state of things in many a Christian life." How faithful the Savior has been, and yet how prone the sheep are to wander. The waywardness of the sheep. "He restoreth my soul." But secondly, this morning, I want you to consider the faithfulness of the shepherd. "He restoreth my soul." Some teach and preach that Jesus leaves His roaming sheep to perish. But my friends, the Bible tells us it is not so. "He restoreth my soul." And you'll notice the Lord does it personally. He, that's the shepherd. And in restoring the wayward sheep, He does something for the sheep they can't do for themselves. The sheep can't restore its own soul, can never find its way back. Wanders off. There's nothing within the sheep that can deduce how it will get back to where it ought to be. As I said, I learned a little bit about the country whenever we moved to the country at around 16 years of age. And one of the things I was taught, there were sheep in the field behind where my parents live. And one of the things I first learned was that when a sheep rolls onto its back, it hasn't the potential within itself to roll itself back over. And if it remains in that position and condition, then it's going to die. And I recall very vividly one wet, windy November morning. I was in Bible college at the time. I had just got ready in the kitchen. I would sometimes study in my parents' kitchen at home, and I was getting ready to get into the Hebrew. It must have been a Wednesday, for Hebrew was on a Thursday. And so you always revised your Hebrew on a Wednesday. And my parents had gone to work, and the house was empty. And I looked out the kitchen window, and there I could see the four legs shooting straight up. And it was blowing a gale, and the rain was beating down, and I had no intention of going out. And I looked at these four legs stuck up in the air about 300-400 yards up the field, and I thought, I'm going to have to go out. And I couldn't let the old sheep just lie on his back and die. And so I got the coat on and the boots on, and I climbed over the fence, and that was my first experience. And turning the old sheep over and helping it get back into its way and back and going again. But you know, the backslider is like that old sheep on its back. Don't you think, and I say this graciously and sympathetically, don't think that you can deliberately wander from the Lord and then just pick the time and the occasion when you'll return to the Lord. My friend, it doesn't work like that. You get away from the Lord, you're like that old sheep on its back. You'll never get yourself back up and going again. You need the Savior and the Shepherd to come alongside. Thank God there'll be a time. And He'll come and He'll lift you back again onto your feet to walk with Him. Maybe to stumble, that sheep had stumbled and it stammered for a bit. And then it got up and going again. But oh, He'll come alongside and He'll do for you what you can't do for yourself. He'll restore you again. He does it personally. And you'll notice that He does it persistently. Look at the word restoreth. It's in the present continuous tense. Spurgeon lamented that oftentimes the Christian life is one of broken fellowship. It's one of suspended communion with the Lord. And there are many times in the Christian life we can make mistakes, we can go astray. He restoreth. And He does it continually and constantly. But I want you to notice also, sometimes He does it painfully. My friend, there's a cost in backsliding. There's a cost in getting away from the Lord. And do you notice the psalm? I'm sure you know it off by heart. The end of verse 4. He says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort." Isn't that amazing? The rod comforted him. The shepherd had the staff and the rod. And when the sheep maybe were going to go out of the way a little bit, what would he do with the rod? He hit it a whack. I have no doubt it was painful. And yet, David could say that painful strike from the rod, it comforted him. And sometimes, brethren and sisters, when we get out of the way, the Lord has to take the rod. It's called the rod of chastisement. Hebrews 12, verse 5 and 6, despise not the chastening of the Lord, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And Paul could go on to say in verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 12, no chastening for this present time is joyous. May you give the child the slap, the rod of correction, and they're not going to be rejoicing or thanking you at that present time. But later on, they'll see you were keeping me from going further astray. And that's just how the Lord deals with His people. When we go astray, sometimes He has to take the rod and we have to feel it upon our back. And I want to tell you, it can be painful. You ask David, oh, if we could resurrect David into this meeting this morning, and we could say, David, was the chastening hand of the Lord in your life joyous? He'd tell us it was painful. I think David would tell us, I regret the day I looked at Bathsheba. I regret the day I called for her to the palace. I regret the day I committed adultery with Bathsheba, for the Lord took the rod. And he said the sword would not leave David, depart from David's house. And David was chastened sore. The little one died 7 days after it was born. Absalom rebelled against his father, turned against him. It entailed a battle, and Absalom, his son, died, and his soul was lost. And David wept over him, Absalom, Absalom, my son Absalom, would to God that I had died for thee. And it's the chastening hand of God for his sin. It's backsliding. But I believe that David rejoiced that the Lord did not let him go any further into sin, and he brought him back into the way. And that rod, he said, it comforted him to know that the Lord had the rod of discipline to keep him from going any further into sin. I say to those that perhaps have wandered, you're backslidden at heart and in life. I pose the question to you. I warn you. If you are a true sheep of the Lord's pasture and flock, the Lord will bring the rod of discipline upon you to bring you back into the way. And I ask, what will it take? How painful a strike does the Lord have to give you to bring you back into line and into the paths of righteousness? He does it personally. He does it persistently. Sometimes he does it painfully. But David could say, he restoreth my soul. You know, that's an interesting little study. What does the Lord restore to the backslider? I want you to turn. There's three references. We'll go through them quickly here. Turn to Psalm 51 and verse 12. Psalm 51 and verse 12. And this is the cry of the backslidden soul. The cry for restoration and for forgiveness. David cries, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Sin brought brokenness. Sin brought pain. Wandering from the Lord into disobedience brought all those things. But in restoring them, the Lord restored the joy. My friend, when you return to the shepherd, he'll give you that joy that you feel at the minute is impossible to know. He restores the joy to your soul. Turn over to Joel chapter 2, verse 25. The prophecy of Joel, he restores something else. Hosea, and then you have Joel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Joel 2, verse 25. Here's the promise to the backslidden nation. I will restore, and the Lord is speaking, I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And oh, the locusts and the caterpillar and the cankerworm, they destroyed the harvest. They destroyed the land, and for years there was barrenness. There was no fruit. There was no growth. Wasted years, ruined years. Maybe in your backslidden state, you've had wasted years, wasted months, where you haven't lived for the Lord or served the Lord or worshiped the Lord. And yet God says this, I'll restore those years. I'll put much joy and fellowship and communion and blessing into the years that you've left, that I'll restore what you've lost. Isn't He such a gracious and a good and a giving God, even in restoring His backslidden people? There's one other thing that I'll point your attention to. He restores Isaiah chapter 57, verse 18. When we're out of touch and out of fellowship with the Lord, the comfort goes, doesn't it? And in Isaiah 57 and verse 18, I have seen His ways and will heal Him. Isn't that lovely? My friend, far from the shepherd's tender care, the Lord still has His eye upon you. If you truly belong to Him, you're really saved. He sees you, He knows you, He watches over you. I have seen His ways, the Lord knows what you're doing. He says, and will heal him. The Lord's coming to restore you. And He might have to strike you with that rod, but He's coming to heal you. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. You have mourned in sin. Sin has brought sorrow to your home and to your family and to your life. He says, I will restore those comforts to you. Where is the best place for you to be as a Christian? It's close to the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. For far from Him, my friend, you'll never lose your salvation, but you can lose the joy. You can lose the years, wasted years. You can lose your comfort. But He's faithful. When He strikes you with that rod to correct you and bring you back into the way, He will restore those blessings to you. Look unto Jesus. Call unto Him. If you are in that situation and condition, even this day, there's one final thought I want to put to you. We've considered the waywardness of the sheep and the faithfulness of the shepherd. Consider the righteousness of the soul. He leadeth me, the psalmist concluded, in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The Christian life is a road of righteousness. It is a path of purity. It has been described as a highway of holiness. And how do you know if you're far from the Savior, far from the shepherd? You're living in unrighteousness. It is a delusion of the devil and a deception of the devil for men to think that they are close to Christ and yet living and indulging in all manner of unrighteousness. When Christ restores, and let me apply this to salvation, when Christ restores and saves a soul, and when He restores a wandering backslider, He leads them in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. His name is high. His name is holy. And He will not bring dishonor to His name by leading you in unrighteous paths and in unrighteous ways. And sadly today, we have a brand of Christianity that says you can walk with the Lord, you can follow Him, you can be a child of Him, and you can be in close communion with Him and live as you like and do as you please. Live an ungodly life. My friend, that is the deception of the devil. What is righteous living? Well, it's the exact opposite of unrighteous living. And the Bible very clearly defines unrighteous living. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we have that passage where the Apostle Paul described the past lives of the believers when they were unconverted. They were in a state of sin. And in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 and 10, he says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" He's describing those who were not saved. Before they were saved, they were unrighteous. They were in a state of sin. And then he defines what that unrighteousness is. "The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetousness, drunkards, revilers, extortioners." My friend, there you have a summary of unrighteous ways and paths, unrighteous living, immorality, drunkenness, theft. Those are the paths of unrighteousness. And I want to tell you, the Lord doesn't lead His people in these paths. He leads them in the paths of righteousness. And if men and women are living in those unrighteous ways, then either one of two things is the case with their soul. They're either not saved and they need converted, or they are backslidden and they need restored. Because the mark of a man or woman who is going on with the Lord, who is in fellowship with the Lord and in communion with the Lord, is a man or woman who is living and walking in righteous paths and righteous ways. Is that where you are right now? Or do you need the shepherd to come alongside and restore you once again to the paths of righteousness? The shepherd psalm, it's a wonderful psalm, a favorite portion in Scripture. How much does the shepherd give his people? One of the blessings and benefits is when we would wander from the path astray, then He will draw us back into the way. If your soul needs restored this morning, may you experience it for Christ's sake.